Psalms 23, and we're going to minister on every sheep's dream. This is what sheep dream about. Every sheep's dream, Psalms 23. I want you to read with me Psalms 23, a psalm of David. Let's read those six verses together. Can we read it together? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, it's to be regretted that many times we wait until a memorial service, or we wait until, you know, some dark or tragic time in our life, and we reach for Psalms 23. But Psalms 23, as I said, is every sheep's dream. It's a life psalm because it's so all-inclusive. The first thing that we read there is, the Lord is. Sit with me. The Lord is. The Lord is. You could point out and say, that car is, but the Lord is more real than that automobile that you can see with your eye. You can say that pulpit is, but I tell you that God is more real than this pulpit that you're looking at right now. We could look at a house, we could look at a tree, we could look at any number of things, and we can say that is a house, that is a tree, that is a book. That is, and we understand what that is. But I tell you that God is more real than that which is visible, and God is more real than that which is tangible. And then Psalms 23 begins to unfold. It said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You can never truthfully say, I don't have anything going for me. You can never truthfully say, if you've read Psalms 23, I really do not have anything going for me, because the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And that means that the Lord is everything that the sheep needs. The shepherd is everything that the sheep needs. A sheep is very dependent upon the shepherd. And I know that Jesus is the Lord of our life. And it doesn't mean that we couldn't live for the Lord without someone helping us or someone propping us up. But I'm telling you, when it gives the example of a sheep must have the influence of a shepherd, or a sheep can be in deep trouble real quickly. It's always interesting to notice them up in as we go to Israel. There's a place up in the high mountains, near the Continental Divide that we've been many times up around Winter Park. And in the summertime, they have sheep on those higher elevations. And you can hear the little bell of the sheep, one of the sheep, and you can see the shepherd. And the shepherd is never really extremely visible, but always ever present. And if you look around, you'll think, well, what are these sheep doing up here? But if you look, you'll find that there is guidance and there is supervision and there is a shepherd that is there. You know, the truth that I'm sharing with you tonight is so important, because God did not save us and then just cut us loose and let our ship drift out from the harbor. The same Lord who saved us and has forgiven us of all of our sins, if you just see this powerful yet simple thought of God's word, the Lord is our shepherd, just as the shepherd is there for the benefit of the sheep. David said, the Lord is. What is the Lord? Well, one thing, the Lord is my shepherd, which is everything. And then he goes on to tell us the fulfilling and the unfolding of what a shepherd is all about. I shall not want. I shall not want. You say, but I have some needs in my life. Yes, we all do. But if your faith is on the line, God is in the process. There's a miracle in motion. There is something that is happening when you can see it and when you don't see it, when you feel it and when you don't feel it. And we have people in this church that have gone through some very touching times of bereavement. But I'm telling you, you can lean upon God and you can say with David, I shall not want. Philippians 4:19 said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Thanks be unto God. You know, as a pastor, I see so many things. Oh, you see so many times and seasons in people's lives. Sometimes you see a wife who refuses to be a wife, and you see a husband who is legally a husband, but he refuses to stand up and be a man or stand up and do the things that a man should do. And I mean, life can hold some real bitter disappointments. I know some precious parents that have had heartbreaking experiences with children. And some children that have had heartbreaking experiences with parents. Ran across a story just the other day of children who had to rise above the lack in their own parents' life. That at one time the parents were the ones that directed them to church, but then something happened and now the parents are no longer serving God. So the children, on their own faith and on their own initiative and by their own decision, choose to serve God and go to church. You see a lot of contrast in this world. But David said, I shall not want. I shall not want. My God shall supply all of my need. Church, never forget this. God has promised to and God will supply all of your need. All of your need. Your mental, your physical, your emotional, your spiritual, your financial. God will supply all of your need. Goes on to say that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, God knows what we need and when and where we need it. I want to say that again. God knows what we need. Sometimes I've said, Lord, I think I know what I need, but Lord, you really do know what I need. I couldn't tell you how many times I've said, Lord, I just need a change of a certain thing, or I just need something. And then to experience it sometimes very quickly and sometimes within days and sometimes within weeks. You know, God knows the variety that we need in our life. He maketh me to lie down. He maketh me to lie down. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You see, a sheep can get in the midst of poison weeds and in the midst of poisonous things that are growing and eat that. And of course, it would take the sheep's life or make it very, very ill. But I tell you, the Lord calls us to lie down in green pastures, pastures that are good for us. I said pastures that are good for us. Sometimes mentally and emotionally we get all fired up and get in the wrong pasture. But if you'll just let the shepherd lead you, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Different pastures. Pastures to rest and renew and take the pressure off of your mind and your spirit. God knows how to bring variety to your spirit. Sometimes our minds just get on one track. And we need for God to just help us break that and expand our thinking. Sometimes we get on a downer thought. We get on a downer emotion. You know, it's possible. And man, as many things as confront you when you're in leadership, I mean, you constantly have to refocus. You constantly have to refocus your reaction to things and your thoughts about things and how things go, because a leader's responsible for a lot of things. And there's sometimes you'll see something, but I found out everything is not like it looks. And everything is not like it seems. And everything is not what appears to be. Sometimes people get all fired up, and I've done the same thing about something, and it really was not that way. You see, God knows the truth and the balance of every matter. God knows the way things really are. Well, I just know this is the way they think. It may not be that at all. Well, I just know that they have it in for me. Probably not at all. They've got problems their own. You see, God knows the heart. God knows the balance of every situation. And we all have responded. We all have responded. Always not in the best interest. But that's what life is all about. He leads us into the green pastures. He leads us into the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sheep are afraid of rushing waters. What would be a beautiful babbling brook? What would be refreshing to see a Colorado River or a roaring river? That just might energize you, but it brings unrest and fear to the sheep's heart. But oh, thank God, He leadeth me beside the still waters. I said, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Here I am with my eyes on waters that are troubling me. Here I am on with my eyes on waters that I just, you know, oh, what about that? But God's word said, He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Lord leads me beside those waters of peace and those waters of calmness. Those waters of assurance. Those waters where you feel good about yourself. He leadeth me beside the still waters, waters of calmness and waters of peace. Psalms 32 and 8 said that He will teach us and instruct us in the way that we should go. He will guide us with His eye. You remember over in 1 Kings 17 how Elijah walked in and said, there will be no rain until I say so. And I mean, that's a pretty dramatic statement, and that's a very dramatic setting. And the next thing you know, he's out in the wilderness sitting by a little stream. And God's feeding him. You see, from one extreme to another extreme. Sometimes we need the shock. Sometimes we need the shock. There's just too much going on. Too many voices, too many choices, too much noise. So many say this and so many say that. Sometimes you just need to turn everything off. You need to turn off the radio, the television, your cell phone. You need to turn off your own mind. Just turn that little off and just say, oh, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Over in Isaiah 26, that's the promise. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. You know, I've been dwelling on that for several days. Perfect peace. Not partial peace, not fragmented peace, not a little bit of peace mixed with a lot of pressure. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And I just wrote in my Bible, refuse to get out of peace. Refuse to leave your peace. Refuse to leave the peace zone. Oh, when your mind is troubled, close your eyes and go back to a scene of inspiration. Go back to a moment. Sometimes I go back to the Mount of Beatitudes over in Israel and remember how many times we have been on that mount and how many times that we've ministered to the Lord and the Lord has ministered to us. Or you remember a time of revival or a time of refreshing. Just let your mind go from the troubling situations of the now and go to a peaceful scene and go to a moment when the presence of God was so precious. You know, you just have to direct your thinking. I said you have to direct your thinking. That's why Joshua 1:8 and why Philippians 4:8 said, think on these things. These are the things to think about. If you don't think on these things, you're going to suffer the consequences. If you'll think on these things, you'll receive the fruits and the benefits of that. Philippians 4:8, I mean, it's so simple. You cannot misinterpret it. Think on these things. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. Folks, listen to me. This word, I mean, even if you're on the right side of the fence politically, I mean, even if your heart is right with God, even if you want to do the right thing and you tell the truth and you're honest, if you're not careful, you can get so bent out of shape about everybody else that's not doing the right thing. Someone else that didn't tell the truth. I mean, we've come through a very pressing time politically. I mean, boy, you know, you just go from zero to 150 miles an hour in your spirit. All of a sudden, when you see the things that are said, you see this world is custom designed to frustrate you, to stir you up, to get you going in the wrong direction, to get you all fired up about something that's going to lead you to an emotional impasse. And only we who know the teaching of God's Word can say, whoa, 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 it's time to pop the parachute. We're going too fast. You've watched them in the drag races. You know they pop the parachute. It's time to pop the parachute of faith and the parachute of the Word of God and just say, wait a minute. My mind is not going to be a runaway plane or a runaway car or a runaway train. In the name of Jesus, I choose to step out of the trouble zone and into the faith zone. That's why Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. There's a letter switch on the inside of you. There's a switch that will either let this go on and get deeper and deeper and more intense and more emotional. I'm on to something now. I hear gears turning. I hear gears clicking. God's ministering to people. Folks, on the inside of us, we have that faith switch that will either let us enter into the trouble zone and the overwhelm zone. Let not your heart be troubled. We have something on the inside of us that can absolutely just almost explode. That's why even believers sometimes just blow up on the freeway of life. When we just need to turn off and tune in, come back to that secret place. And just say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is. I will say of the Lord, He is. He is my provider. He is the one that gives me peace. He is the answer to my life. It works. It works. It works. I tell you, it works. It works. It works. And I want to come back to this again. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person and you're doing the wrong thing and, you know, you're pursuing ungodly things. But I'm telling you, your mind can just drive you straight up the wall. Really can. I mean, vain imaginations. And you can just see things that aren't there. And you can hear things that aren't there. Kind of like when you were a little child, you know, and you, in the dark, you kept seeing things and hearing things that really weren't there at all. I'm telling you something from God's Word. God knows how to lead us into the green pastures. God knows how to lead us beside the still waters. And I mean, if everyone around you is going off, you can be the one that's in control. The peace of God can rule and reign in your heart. Everything around you may just be upside down and you just say, what in the world is going on in my world? But oh, thank God someone's in control. God's on the throne. God's on the throne. God's on the throne. God's on the throne. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Here's another thing that happens. The Lord is my shepherd. It said he restoreth my soul. You see, he brings me back to what it's all about. Life is not what you think it is. Well, it'll wind up being what you think it is. But life's not all your thought life. I mean, everything in the world is not the way you think about it. Everybody in your life is not the way you think about them. It may be, there may be some truth there, but do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, the word is very plain here. He restoreth my soul. He takes me. He takes me. Praise God. It's kind of like someone told me the story. I was looking up in a tree. We're talking about some limbs and so on. And I said, what kind of a nest is that? They said, that's a squirrel's nest. I said, oh, yeah. I said, you know, just the other day, I was working around a tree. And some little squirrels had fallen out of the nest and said, you know, said we put them back under the tree there. And you know, a lot of times mother bird will not touch a bird once you've touched that bird. But said that mother squirrel came down and got each of those two little squirrels and got them wherever you get a squirrel and went right back up the tree and put them in the nest. That's the first time I've ever heard a story like that. So I take their word for it. They saw it. And I thought, man, how many times have we fallen out of the nest? How many times did we fall out of our tree? How many times did we get too close to the edge and we just fell out of the tree? We fell out of the nest. And if God had been like birds, He would have never bothered with us again. But oh, thank God, He just got us by the nape of the neck and said, come on, son, come on, daughter. Don't you get close to the edge of that nest again. We're going back up to safety. We're going back up to your bed, son. We're going back up to your bed, little girl. We're going to put you in the nest. That's what God does for us. Oh, when we fall out of the tree, when we miss it, when we miss it in any way, if you'll just let God, He'll work with you. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in right the paths of righteousness. He leads me in the right path. How many times have you started down a trail of thinking or a trail of action or a trail of buying something or not buying something? And I mean, inside you, you knew that you were going the wrong way. I mean, you just, it wasn't that it was so terrible, but you just knew that wasn't good for you. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He leads me in the right path. God knows the road that's best. You've heard my story. Joe and I were on our honeymoon up in Colorado. And I was going to take the shortcut to the Black Forest, and I just knew that I knew where I was going. Well, I'd driven up in that area, not on in that particular road area, but you know, Joe, in her heart, she does sometimes. My sense of direction, I don't know, but anyway, on that occasion, she had it. I'm telling you, and she kept saying, "Bob, this is not the way to go." And I said, "Oh, yes, it is." And so we drove highway until we got to County Road, and we drove County Road until we got to two ruts, and we drove two ruts until it was almost 4x4. And I mean, we were just barely coming between trees. And she said, "Bob, I don't believe this is the way to get there." "Oh yeah, baby, we'll be there in just a few moments." And finally, I mean, I kept hearing things thump under the car, and I thought, I think I'm about to get in trouble here. That was the hardest backing out I ever did in my life. Did you ever back up in reverse about 3 or 4 miles? I'm telling you, it's not fun, especially when you're wrong. It's not fun, especially when you're wrong, you know. And she was wise enough just to give me that look and say, "Just back out." Well, we didn't say much that day. We just finally found the right road and got on the right road. But I tell you, He leads me in the right paths. I said, He leads me in the right paths. You know, there's just something about a man, you know, we just leave me alone. It's going to work out some way, even if it doesn't work out. But that's the way we are, ladies. So just have patience with us. And I'll tell you, here's now, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We all go through those times. We all go through threatening times. We all go through dangerous times. I remember when Joy's youngest brother went on to be the Lord 28 years of age. That was the first time we'd ever faced anything like that on either side of our families like that. And it was a very challenging time. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Over in Israel, there's a place from Jericho to Jerusalem, or Jerusalem to Jericho. And it literally reminds you of the valley. It is the valley of the shadow of death. And you could see how thieves could hide on either side of that. I mean, you're literally walking a very, certainly kind of a narrow trail. You know, a donkey or a camel could go through there. But I don't know if even over two could go through there. And you could see how the thieves could hide. And you see, David knew so well, and those that traveled, and those that, you know, life was not as easy as it is today in so many ways. But he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley, and there's just a certain time of day that there's sun there, and the rest of the time it's a shadow. It's a shadow. You're walking in the shadows. And then, of course, the night comes when you better know where you're going and have a place to go. But, oh, I tell you, thank God, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Though it's dark and though there are shadows on every side and we don't know which way to go and we don't know what to do. Oh, our God is such a wonderful God. Our shepherd is always there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Think about that. You may feel forsaken. You may think you're forsaken, but not so. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm just not going to do that. God does not forsake us. The shepherd does not forsake the sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, here's something that comes into it, though. He said, I will. You have a will. You have a faith will. I will fear no evil. When it seems like I'm in the worst place in the world, I choose not to fear. I will not fear. That's not mind over matter. That's not a positive attitude in the midst of negative circumstances. That's a choice that you make. I choose to refuse to walk in fear. I choose to refuse to walk in fear. Praise God. It's a choice that I make. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will. I am committed by faith, and I have to make that commitment afresh and anew every day. I will fear no evil. No evil. So it's not pick and choose. I'll fear this, but I won't fear that. I'll fear this, but I won't fear that. You just might as well make up your mind. I fear no evil. I fear no evil. No. No, I fear no evil. You don't pick and choose. You make the decision, I refuse to fear, to walk in fear. Are there moments when it comes? Yes. Are there moments when we walk in it momentarily? Yes. Are there moments when we walk in it longer than we should? Yes. But oh, the decision is mine. Every time I come into a situation, the choice is mine. I refuse to walk in fear. I fear not. I will fear not. You know, I don't care how old you get or how much experience you have. Listen, I face experiences right along from time to time. Not as many as I used to because I know the principles. And I know what the answer is. But I mean, we're human. And something that's new and something we don't understand, or there's another trail or there's another way or there's something else to deal with. And you know, there's no book but God's book that tells you everything to do. And then there's times when it seems like God's book is silent for a while. And you have to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The Bible said there is a time, there is a zone, there is a day, there is a way, there's a temporary period of time when the just shall live by faith. It's by faith. Amen. You can't live by someone else's emotions. You can't live by someone else's convictions. You can't live by someone else's hype, whether it's good or bad. What I mean, you have to have your own sense and set of values within. I will fear no evil. Now, why could David say, I will fear no evil? He said, because thou art with me. Lord, you are with me. Praise be unto God. Lord, thou art with me. That's one reason. He said, your rod guides me. You know, that rod, it goads and guides. And that staff, keeps me headed in the right direction. And you take care of all who would be my enemies by accident or on purpose. Now, sometimes you just get paranoid. Man, I got enemies. There's black helicopters everywhere, you know. I mean, you just know there's demons and devils and, you know, you can see them in the rearview mirror. You can see them in the front. You can just get all caught up in that. And so there's times that you think that you have enemies that you don't, and there's times that you really do have enemies, and only God really knows. Because sometimes people I thought were my enemies turned out to be pretty good friends. And sometimes folks that I thought were pretty good friends turned out to be my enemies. Have you lived long enough to experience what I'm talking about? So the Bible said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort, they guide, they correct, they protect me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You see, it's not how many enemies you have or you don't have. It's the fact that God prepares a table of plenty before you. So get your eye on the table, not on the enemies. Get your eye on the smorgasbord. that heaven is offering you. Don't get all paranoid about your enemies. You'll always have someone that's not real happy about you. I mean, that's just life, okay? That's basic life. But it said, thou preparest a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You know, God can deliver us from stinking thinking. You anoint my head with oil. That keeps our thought life going in the right direction. Folks, every one of us, I mean, it's like flying an airplane. You know, over a long period of time, I was just thinking when we were flying to Uganda the other night, every once in a while you could feel that plane go to the left. I mean, you could feel a shift ever so slightly. And I'm not a pilot, so I don't know everything about everything. But you know, there's certain places that, and then coming back from London, they have certain ways of staying within a certain distance of land. And so you're constantly, you know, you're constantly on that curve. And so I know they have the automatic equipment and so on, but there's a time when you can definitely feel that plane shift ever so slightly. You can feel it shift. And I'm telling you, if you'll just rely on the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of heaven, thank God there'll be a time you'll feel a shift in your spirit. And what it's all about is that God knows that He doesn't want you to be off course. And if you'll just let God, He'll just keep us on course. He keeps us right on target, keeps us right on in contact with the Word. Instead of getting off on your, what should have been, might have been, could have been, wished it had been. You see, the Lord just shifts here. And you know, sometimes I get on a plane. I don't know that pilot. I don't know his temperament. I don't know where he's been. I don't know what he's been doing. I walk. You talk about total faith. You walk into that capsule, close the door, and trust your life to whoever they say Captain So-and-so is, and you don't even know who Captain So-and-so is. Is in command tonight. Your Captain So-and-so is in command. You trust your life. And really, in essence, you do that when you get on the freeways nowadays. But oh, child of God, I'm telling you, and some of you are preaching ahead of me tonight, there is a captain that's above all other captains. I remember a time years ago I was flying on Frontier Airlines going up Colorado. And man, it was weather. I don't know when I've ever been on a rougher flight. And everybody was kind of getting a little concerned about that. I mean, it was just that kind of a situation. And finally, you know, the pilot came on and he said, just buckle your seatbelt down tight because we got to get above this. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And I remember someone was kind of heckling the flight attendant and said, well, I mean, you know, like they could change the weather, you know. And she said, sir, she said, sitting up front is a man that I forget how many thousands of hours of flying, and said he's an experienced captain and he's been through many storms and this really is nothing to him. He knows what he's doing, sir. Just trust the captain. She was a little direct with him. And you know, I was just sitting there. I thought, oh, thank God. How many times we thought, what's going to happen now? Which way are we going? What's going to come out of this? And I'll tell you, an angel could come back and say, just trust the captain. He's the captain of our salvation. I said, he's the captain of our salvation. Just trust the captain. Trust the captain. He's been through the storms. He knows. He knows. He knows what step to take. He anoints our head with oil, and our cup runneth over. In the midst of conflict and turmoil and confusion, thank God the captain knows the way. Now, Robbie, I need you up here. Matthew, I need you up here. Come up here. I need you. Robert, I need you up here now. Robert, I need you up here. All right, y'all just stand right out there now. Now, Robert, I want you to stand between these two guys. I want you to stand between them. Now, one of these guys is goodness and the other one's mercy. We'll have to find out which one's which. Goodness and mercy. But the Bible said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all. I want you guys to follow him now. Don't let him get away. Follow him. See? You gonna let him get away, guys? Well, watch out now. He's going to get away from you now, man. How fast can Robert move? I don't know. How fast can Robert move? Goodness and mercy shall follow him all the days of his life. goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm telling you, you can't drive so fast that you leave goodness and mercy. You can't fly so high but that you leave goodness and mercy. You can't run so fast but that you leave goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.